at the Center for the Study of Sport and Society, and we're going to be joined hopefully in a minute by Chris Mortensen, who talked about this on Outside the Lines. You guys look into a lot of these fundamental issues, and we certainly talk about the role models, expectations on the role models, but there is the other side of it as well, and this tragedy of Andre Waters, who was a good friend with our regular contributor, Seth Joyner, that his brain tissue, because of all these concussions, was what would be expected of an 85-year-old man. Tell me what that says to you.
Well, it says to me that there's a tremendous physical and emotional sacrifices that professional athletes have to make in order to play at that level, and that is as much as we like to think that the lifestyle is really glamorous and that they make a lot of money, they're also putting themselves at risk for the quality of life that they might lead after their playing days are over. And I'm sure you can relate to the fact that, you know, there are joints and hips and knees and ankles and spine injuries and fusion surgeries that your colleagues and friends have had over the years after retiring from football. And now that they're in their 40s and 50s, they probably can't jog, they can't exercise regularly because they're so restricted. And so as much as we like to think that they're making all this money and they have the great life, there's also a price to pay, and it's a sad situation in terms of the water situation that he was inflicted with that. But I hope that the people listening out there and those that watch the game will have a little more empathy and understanding about the athletes and don't just see them as well-paid or overpaid athletes.
We're joined by Chris Mortensen, our super sleuth, a guy that I think should have his own stealth jet because he's all across the country all the time. Chris, thanks for joining us.
All right, Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Tell us what this means to you, because for me as a player that played 17 years, didn't have to suffer concussions, but watched so many players deteriorate, Jim Tyre committing suicide several years after his career was over with the Chiefs because he could not cope. Sometimes maybe we have some more added information and data that the sacrifice players make during their careers leads to something that people really don't appreciate at this point.
No, and that's the thing about it. You try to impress upon people that, you know, of course, the average career, as we know, is a little under 4 years. But for those who go beyond that, the price to pay, as we've just spoken, can be a tremendous price to pay in some cases. We know it's not a contact sport. It's a collision sport. And it's just the more data we get in, the better handle we'll get on it, because there's so many different issues. You know, there's been the issues of likening playing a lengthy pro career to, and not to dishonor our veterans, and I'm one of them, our military veterans, but to that same transition into society that has triggered, similar-like problems with it that have to do with mental health and what have you. Then there's the physical health part of it, which is, I think, you know, the more we've become, you know, the last year or two especially, we're getting more heightened awareness of concussions. The science is still not caught up yet there, and that's what we need to know, because, this year, you know, we should have been encouraged by the fact that Trent Green wasn't allowed back on the playing field for, more than half the season, and that Dan Morgan of the Carolina Panthers wasn't allowed back on the playing field at all. Mm. So there is progress being made, but it doesn't address the post-career issues that come up.
Chris, and Troy Aikman, Boomer Esiason, Steve Young, Al Toon, Trent Green, Ben Roethlisberger, Merrill Hodge, as they hear this news, do you think that it gives them pause, especially those still playing, that they made sacrifices that they may not have made if they knew this?
I think it, to some extent. I mean, and some of them are doing well, but of course, there's always going to be an uncertainty in their mind. And of course, you know, I talk about it with Tom Jackson, my colleague, all the time. Played 14 years with the Denver Broncos, and Tom is quite cognizant of the mortality rate for former NFL players that they die younger, and you know, he's got two young girls that he treasures every moment with them because of. That's always in the back of his mind. I spoke with Frank Wycheck, the former Tennessee Titan tight end, earlier today, and he's very concerned about this. You know, Frank had some severe concussions in Tennessee, and listen, yes, it certainly is troublesome, and I'm going to see Steve Young tomorrow night and anxious to talk to him about it.
Sorry, Peter, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, Nick, when fans sometimes hear that players are not coming back on the field as quickly as they would like, they start to think that maybe the guy's a malingerer or he's soft or, you know, whatever. And even the media sometimes can give guys a hard time. And I hope everybody now thinks twice about cajoling athletes to get on the field before they feel like they're ready, because it's important that they get back as close to normal as they can before they go risk additional injury, especially with head injuries. And as Chris says, you know, the science is starting to catch up, and I think the medical profession is much more cautious now than maybe they used to be about letting people go back and play. But I cringe when I hear people say that, you know, the kid was so tough and he showed a lot of courage and he came back and he played even though he was this, that, and the other thing, because that's sending a message that, you know, there's that machismo that's supposed to be inherent in sport, and it's probably not the smartest thing for people to do to get back on the field when they're not 100%.